sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
Good morning. You are listening to KSQD Santa Cruz, KSQD 90.7 FM, streaming live at ksqd.org. I am Catherine Bell, and this is The Dream Journal, a weekly show where we explore the healing powers of your nighttime dreams through conversations with dream experts and with you. In the words of Carl Jung, who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens. Today, we are live with Linda Schiller, who will offer tools for decoding your soul's wisdom. Have you noticed that your dreams seem to be tapping into a deeper wisdom? This is Catherine Bell of Experiential Dreamwork, and welcome to the Dream Journal. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the Dream Journal and of KSQD, so happy birthday to us all. There is a celebration at the Mission Church Parish Hall this afternoon from 2 to 6 o'clock. I think you were supposed to register in advance, but what the heck, you should probably just show up. I hope to see you there. I think it'll be really fun. I'd like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of Natural Bridges Media or of KSQD's staff, volunteers, or underwriters. Please check out the Dream Journal podcast. Look for it, review it, subscribe, and tell a friend. I'm excited to say that after requests from several listeners, the Dream Journal is also now available on Spotify, so look for it on all of your major podcast platforms. New episodes will be released within a few days of every broadcast. So I'd like to start with a dream I had recently in which it was just kind of a view. I wasn't really in the dream, but I was looking at an angel, this beautiful angel with wings extended, and looking down on her, underneath her wings were these like scenes of different groups of people talking to each other, and they were like under her wings, and she's smiling down on all these different groups of people and interactions. And I didn't necessarily recognize the people, but there was a sense of like protection there, of something just like kind of meant to be. And on one side, on her right side, the tips of her wings were folded down, and on that side there were stars, and it was nighttime scenes, people sleeping, some alone, some together, and just a sense of beautiful protection, somehow the angel just looking down on everybody. So I'm bringing that guardian angel into the show today. I am inviting calls-ins today in the last segment of the show, so get your questions ready and queue up your phone to 831-900-5773. That's 900-KSQD. I'd love to hear about one of your dreams, or you could ask a question. Jot that number down and give us a call a little bit later. That number, again, is 831-900-5773. So welcome, Linda Schiller. Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. So good to have you here today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. So Linda Yael Schiller is a body, mind, and spiritual therapist based in Boston. An international speaker, consultant, and author, she has been teaching and training both professionals and the general public on dream work for over 35 years. Professor emeritus at Boston University School of Social Work, Linda's original scholarship on relational group work is now taught worldwide. Trained in integrative trauma treatment, she combines energy medicine, neuropsychology, and spiritual practices into her work. Her new book is Modern Dream Work, New Tools for Decoding Your Soul's Wisdom. So hi, Linda. Maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey with your dreams.
Okay. So you got a little bit about who I am today from the bio. And I'm an East Coast girl. I was born in Buffalo, New York. Spent my first 21 years there. Then I lived overseas in Israel for 5 years. And when I came back to graduate school here in the Boston area and have been here ever since. So that's the landscape of my life, so to speak. And in terms of my dream journey and how I got interested in dream work, I was always one of those kids interested in esoteric and spiritual exploration. So I was one of those girls who had a Ouija board growing up, had seances with my girlfriends at slumber parties.
Oh, yeah.
So I was sort of dipping into the other side, so to speak, from pretty early on. But I didn't actually pay a terrific amount of attention to my dreams until getting to the Boston area. I had a few, you know, I had some memorable childhood dreams, as many of us do, but I didn't, you know, have a practice of working with my dreams, recording them until I moved to Boston. And I'm a member of a dance community, Dance New England, and one of my friends moved up to the Boston area from New York, and she said to me, Linda, I don't miss anything at all about living in New York City except my dream group. So we started a dream circle in Boston. Will you join? And I said to her, sure. What's a dream circle? So I sort of knew somehow in my soul that I needed to say yes to that, even though I didn't really know what I was saying yes to. And here we are, 35, almost 40 years later, it's become a major part of my life and my life work. So thank you, Eve in San Diego, if you're listening. She's the one who got me on this whole journey.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So what about your current dream work? Are there any particular dreams that you've been working with lately that are being helpful for you right now?
Well, that's an interesting question. In terms of my dream work, there's my own personal dream work and then the work I do with other people.
Right.
Let me answer that in a couple ways. I've been a member of my own personal dream circle with three other women for over 35 years, which is kind of an amazing thing whenever I stop to think about having been in a group for that long with the same people.
Yeah.
So we regularly meet, you know, approximately once a month and work on dreams together. And I run dream circles professionally as well for people who come to do dream work, or I'm the facilitator. In my own dream work, we co-facilitate all together. There's no one person who sort of leads it.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of my dreams, it's interesting. Like many people, I have periods of time that are dreamful, sort of full of dreams, and then periods of time that are sort of like the desert, kind of dry of dreams. And for, I think, a lot of the time that I was writing the book, my dreaming life was kind of quiet because I was so busy writing and dealing with dreams in my waking life.
Mm-hmm.
But since it came out, and I've been kind of, I'm not writing the book now, I'm, you know, just doing little articles here and there and workshops and, you know, readings, but I've been dreaming like crazy for the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
So it's interesting. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I'm paying attention to it, and I'm making sure to jot them down every morning, or as many mornings as I have one, to watch what's going on.
Well, we definitely go through phases where there's more dreams and less dreams, and it's not always obvious to me what the correlation is.
Right. I have some theories about the correlations. I think sometimes if we're active dreamers as a general rule, and then we have dry spells, one of my hypotheses is that we're busy attending to and or working on or simply living whatever it is that our dreams might have come to alert us to,
right,
so that we don't need the extra messages at that moment from our dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, my own personal thinking on that. I don't know if that's true or not, but makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, there are times when we need the guidance and when other times when we don't. And so that,
right.
And sometimes we're listening and sometimes we're not. So they don't necessarily... They're not necessarily the same, but it is interesting. People say, oh, I don't remember my dreams. I'm like, well, but it doesn't mean that you won't. You know, just because you haven't lately, maybe they'll come around again.
Right. The other thing is, for people who generally say, oh, I don't remember my dreams, or even I don't have dreams, we know that we see what we're paying attention to. and we take notice of what we value. Mm-hmm. So if we're not paying attention to our dreaming life, and if we're not valuing our dreams, we're going to be less likely to remember them. There was like a weird sound in the background.
Oh, yeah, we're having a little technical difficulties about trying to get Rick Kleffel's background music going here, and so that little buzz was us trying to hook in his beautiful live music, which is always a lovely part of the show, but I'm still here with you, Linda. I'm loving the conversation.
Okay,
so now you have this book. So this must have been a big project to make this book. In fact, I have the book right here in front of me. I bought it from Bookshop Santa Cruz here in town, and there was quite a nice little pile of them there, called Modern Dreamwork: New Tools for Decoding Your Soul's Wisdom. I was very excited to see that here in Santa Cruz on the shelf. And we do have a lot of dreamers interested in dream work. And so I think I've been reading the book, and it seems like it's a wonderful summary of a lot of different ways of working with dreams and paying attention to different elements and that sort of thing. So I think we'll get into the content a little more, but I'm curious to talk in this moment about your process of actually creating the book.
Oh, great. First of all, thank you for mentioning that it's on the shelf there, and sent me a picture of the book in the bookstore. So I was sort of tickled when you sent that to me.
I was pleased to see that.
Uh-huh. It was fun. So the process of creating the book, I've been working with my dream circle for years and years. And for years I've been saying, oh, you know, I think I have something to say. And I think it might be useful for other people as well. And someday I have to write a book. So I think but I had a young child at the time.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have time. I had a practice. I still do. I have a private practice in psychotherapy. I was teaching at Boston University. I was raising my kid and doing all the other, you know, grocery shopping and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have time in my life. So at one point, my friends in my dream circle said, you know, you might not have time to write a book now, but you could write a blog and just write a couple paragraphs at a time. And I said, you know what? I could do that. So that's what I did. So about 7 years ago, Catherine, I started writing a blog, and the blog title is Awake to Your Dreams, all one word.
Right.
And I started blogging, and I blogged, you know, once a month or, you know, give or take, for a couple of years until I had a compilation of, I don't know, 40, 50 blog posts. In the back of my mind, I knew I was writing with an eye toward source material for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my intention. In Hebrew, there's a word called kavanah, which means intention, and lekaven means to point in a certain direction. So I was pointing my blogs in the direction of them becoming a book. And then a couple of years ago, I don't remember now, maybe 3 or 4, I suddenly just sort of, I guess, my psyche and my outside life got to critical mass where they meshed. And I said, you know what? It's time.
Mm.
It's time for this to be the book. And I had to go away to get away from the interferences of everyday life. So I took myself off on retreat to rented a cabin out in Western Mass on a lake. And I sat there for 5 days and I wrote.
Wow.
And at the end of 5 days, I came home with 80 pages. And then I, you know, plugged away at it, you know, in smaller doses until I had the rest of the book. And then the process of, you know, getting a book out to publication took the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then it came out just this past December.
Wow, that's exciting. Well, I must say, 5 days is, must have been like a turbocharged time for you, because that's pretty short amount of time, but you had all that groundwork done with all the blogs leading up to it.
What I did is I went with all that material and I created for myself a table of contents before I went. So I had like an outline of where I was going. I had no responsibilities for 5 days except to myself, you know, feed myself,
right,
go in the lake and swim when I needed exercise, and then sit at my computer. So that's what helped me jumpstart the book into actual book form.
Okay, fabulous. Let me play a little bit of music and we'll come right back and we'll talk a lot more about the content. I'd love to have you speak a little bit about suggestions for dreamers of how to work with their dreams. This is Linda Yael Schiller, and this is the Dream Journal on K-Squid 90.7 FM. And I am your host, Catherine Bell.
Hallelujah.
I am Catherine Bell, and this is The Dream Journal. I'd like to say that in about 20 minutes, I'll open the phone so you can call in to 831-900-5773. That's 900-KSQD. You can share a dream you're curious about or ask us a question. We are here with Linda Schiller, and this is The Dream Journal on KSQD Santa Cruz. Oh, and I also wanted to say I'd like to give out a quick shout out to some of our regular listeners, Jenny, Christine, and Julie, also Susan J. and Susan S. Thanks so much for tuning in. So we are here with Linda Schiller. Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. So let's get into some of the content, and maybe you could talk to people a little bit about what to pay attention to in their dreams. I know the book covers everything from the landscape of the dreams to characters and animals, loved ones, and a huge range of topics. But what would you say to some people who are interested in getting started understanding their dreams?
Okay. So I can answer that in many different ways.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. So for those who started, the first thing I would say is value your dreams. And mm-hmm. if you value them and pay attention to the possibility that they have meaning and message for your life, you are much more apt to remember them and get the benefit of the wisdom and guidance that they can bring you. So the best way to tell your dreams, so to speak, that you are listening and paying attention is to make a practice of recording them. And I use the word practice purposely, because we talk about having like a meditation practice or a mindfulness practice. And we know that sort of practice makes perfect. And we need to practice something, A, to get good at it, and B, to give it the value that it deserves in our life. So the practice of attending to our dreams is about really being attentive to keeping that journal with a writing implement that's sharpened on a zinc right to your bed at night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't fool your unconscious. If you put the journal there but you don't have a pen, your unconscious can say, she's not really serious.
Mm-hmm.
For the people among us who are not writing these days, you can type it into your phone or your computer. You can audio record your dreams. And then the only problem with that would be if you want to transcribe it later. Mm. But I suppose you could listen to it as well if you want to work with it. So that's the first step, because dreams, as we know, are so ephemeral. You know, if you move too quickly, poof, they're gone. So you want to try to capture them down as soon as possible when you wake up. So that would be the first two steps, really, is honor the dream by creating a practice and then actualize that practice by anchoring them in the concrete world of writing or recorded auditory as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And without going through lots of different techniques for how to remember dreams, I'll just sort of briefly say in the book there's a whole chapter on techniques for remembering your dreams, but in addition to having the recording materials right by your bed, one of my favorites that I'll just mention right now is what's called positional memory. And what that means is if you wake up and you know you had a dream, but you didn't catch it quick enough, you can't remember it, you got out of bed and forgot to write it down, what often works is if you lay back down and put your body back in the position you were in when you were sleeping, you can often recapture the dream through this form of what's called positional memory, because your physical body actually will retain the memory of the dream, and often it'll come back then into your mind so you can write it down and capture it.
Right, okay.
It's fascinating to me how well that actually works. I even amaze myself sometimes when I do that. So that's the sort of in the beginning of thinking about capturing or recording a dream. And the concept of positional memory leads me to one of the main ways that I work with dreams. And one of the things I thought that I had to offer, which is a little bit different than sort of the historical way of working with dreams, is attending to the words and the images and the emotions and our physical body and our sensations when we're working with the dream. And that's a piece that's often left out.
So you're talking about your physical sensations in the dream?
I'm talking about, yes, the physical sensations we have in the dream.
Okay.
And the physical sensations we have when we wake up and we're remembering the dream.
Mm.
They may be the same or they may be different, because there's a whole source of information there, of somatic information, that is different than cognitive or emotional information or spiritual information. So there's sort of four layers of information we might be gleaning from our dreams, and which correspond to sort of the four, or actually there are five levels of being that we can access. Our thinking layer in our minds, which include our words and our stories and some of the images in the dreams, and then the emotional layer of the dreams. So when I'm working with someone with a dream, after they've told me the narrative story of the dream, what helps us figure out what is this dream about is often what I call the emotional narrative of the dream. So I have someone go back through their dream and say, all right, in the beginning, what was the emotion that you had? And in the middle, what was the emotion at this part? And then at the end, when the dream finished and you woke up, which are two different things, by the way, what was the emotion there? And that's often the difference between a dream and a nightmare, is the emotional narrative. Because we might have the same dream. For, let's say I was standing by the ocean and it was a windy day and the waves were really large, just for example. So if I'm standing by the ocean and I'm feeling exhilarated, that's a lovely dream. If I'm standing by the ocean on a windy day and the waves are large and I'm feeling terrified, that's a very different dream.
Oh, good point, right.
It's the same content, but the emotional narrative is different. So the emotional narrative will often point us in a direction of where do we go next in terms of working on the dream.
Right. So whenever you're recording your dreams, it's extremely important to record the feeling you have during the dream. Your emotional feeling as well as your physical feelings and the things that you see. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Often do myself, and people can do it any way that works for them, is I'll write my dream down, because a lot of us, we have to capture those words and those pictures as fast as we can, or we might forget. And then I'll go back and I'll write the emotional narrative next to the words, like a separate column. I'll say, okay, in the beginning of the dream, I felt curious. And then in the middle of the dream, I maybe felt kind of anxious. And then at the end, I felt excited, or I felt sad, or I felt happy, or whatever it was that I'm feeling. You can go back and remember and sort of plug that in. And now the emotions are a guidepost in terms of the direction of what's this dream about for us, and where do we want to go with working on it.
Okay. Oh, so interesting.
Yeah. And then I'll just connect with the body then. So the word emotion, another sort of common way we think about that is our feelings. And feelings are embodied emotions. We feel something in our bodies. That's why they're called feelings.
That's true.
So when we think about, where am I feeling that anxiety? Oh, is it in my stomach? Is it in my shoulders? Is it tight? Is it jumpy? What is the physical somatic expression of what I'm feeling? And then we have another resource for understanding and decoding our dreams as well. And this is related back to like Eugene Gendlin's work on focusing, who is sort of the granddaddy of body-mind work. Today there's a number of different ways of working with that, a somatic experiencing, psychomotor psychotherapy. But focusing is kind of the granddaddy of that. So I incorporate that in my dream work as well.
So how do you then work with these, like, so you have like a series of images or actions, things that happen in the dream, and a series of feelings. And so how would you recommend people start to work with that dream?
So there's a number of different ways. There's no one wrong way. Some people like to go chronologically. You start in the beginning of the dream and then sort of work your way through. And this is a useful way. And also highlights why it's important to record your dream in the order in which you dreamt it. Because what happens first, what happens second, what happens at the end of a dream is going to be very relevant to what the dream means for you. In terms of in the beginning of the dream, this is sort of like your introduction to the topic or the issue or the dilemma that you're dreaming about. And at the end of the dream, this is where you are thus far in understanding or working it out in your life. So it's important to sort of get that chronological narrative. So one way is to take it sort of line by line, image by image, character by character, and work back and forth between the dream and your life. Dream workers often say that the gift of doing dream work is having a gift of having association. So our first layer when we look at the dream is, okay, right off the bat, do I have any association? Does it remind me of anything? Is there anything that happened yesterday or the day before that's like, oh, yeah, this seems to be about that, right? That might be the top layer of our dream.
Right. And it can be symbolic as well. Like it's interesting that you talk about the series of emotions, because, you know, if there's like a tiger walks into my room and I'm terrified, someone asked me, does that remind you of anything in waking life? You're like, well, I don't have a lot of tigers in waking life encountering me. But the feeling of like being afraid, the feeling itself might be familiar, but not so much that particular image.
Right. Exactly right. And if, for example, you had a tiger walk into your dream, one of the questions I might ask would be, and what were you feeling when the tiger was in your dream? Were you amazed? Were you terrified? Did you want to pet the tiger? Was this a friendly tiger or a fierce tiger? And then we would take your emotional reaction or response to the tiger, just like you were saying, and say, okay, this feeling of being really terrified, does that resonate for you? Is anywhere in your life where you feel like, wow, I'm facing down a tiger, mm-hmm. and that's then the metaphor or the symbolic layer of the dream. And sometimes there's an immediate, aha, yeah, oh yeah, I got that. Like my boss at work, he or she really growls and snarls sometimes, and I feel like I'm facing down a tiger, and you get an aha.
Right.
Sometimes you have to work and really decode and work with the imagery.
Yeah, there's something about the aha. You just use the phrase, the word aha, and that's kind of a shorthand that we use for kind of a hit, like a body, like, yes, something really resonates there. And that can be the big gift of dream work. Like, so, you know, I have a dream about a tiger, and the feeling I get facing this tiger reminds me of dealing with my boss. But just having that understanding sometimes can provide some relief, like without having to change your relationship with your boss in any way, just somehow getting the aha is kind of the work of dream work, in my opinion.
Exactly.
In the experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a couple things that are really important about what you're saying, Catherine. One is that the final arbiter of what the dream means is the dreamer, him or herself.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that aha is the signal that, okay, this is pay dirt. We're getting somewhere here. So I might have ideas about your dream if we're working together on a dream or if we're working in a dream circle together. But my ideas, if they don't resonate as true for you, are simply my ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the meaning or the deepest layer of the dream for you. That bone knowing, that kind of tingle, that aha, mm-hmm. is the sign of, ah, this is what it means. And the aha can take many different forms. And we joke in my dream circle that if I start to cry, we're on the right track. So it's a big emotional response. I mean, some of us are big criers. Some of us are not big criers.
Mm.
Some people get like a shiver in their body, and that's their aha.
Mm.
Some people start to laugh, and that's their aha. Some people find the breath comes in, and that's the sign. Oh, my breath came in there. We must be on the right track.
Right. And it's interesting, they're so body-based, that this knowing that we get, you know, in my dreaming circle, we have this phrase, which is only the dreamer knows. Like the dreamer is the one who who really can tune into what the dream means for them. And that's because they get this body-based hit. They get some kind of thought. It could be a thought. It could be a, like you said, an inhalation or starting to cry. And that's the sign that the dream is hitting a nerve, is hitting something important.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, so you just hit on with what you're saying, the concept of embodied dream work.
Mm.
So when we're doing dream work, we can talk about our dreams, and we can also, you asked me, like, what are different ways to work on the dreams? We can also approach dream work from an embodied perspective. And that's one of the things I offer in the book is, there are several ways to do embodied dream work, and one of them is the sort of the gestalt way of working on a dream, that we are every person, every character, every rock, stone, and tree in our dream. So if you came to me with your dream about the tiger, or the beautiful dream that you started your show with today about the angel, mm-hmm. I might ask you, so what's the tiger part of you?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the angel with spread wings part of you, as a way of working from what's called the gestalt perspective on a dream? And then when we're working either by ourselves, but even more so when we're working with other people, we can take the show on the road, so to speak, and bring the dream to life by doing dream theater.
Mm-hmm.
And acting out parts of the dream, and literally walking through or creating tableaus or scenes, and having conversations between the characters in the dream as a way of going plumbing the depths even further, that really bring us into a full body, mind, and spirit connection with the messages from our dreams.
That's one of the ways that I work with dreams in my groups, is one of my, and also during retreats when you're really going to go in depth, I find that really stepping into the dream in a physical way, it can bring about some powerful ahas that can be really, really life-changing, like can be quite amazing. So,
yeah.
Linda, we'll talk lots more about this in a minute. I'm going to play just another little piece of music, and we will be right back. This is the Dream Journal, and this is the last segment, so you're welcome to pick up the phone and call in. The phone number here is 831-900-5773. You're welcome to bring a dream, and we can explore it on the air, or you could just share some of your favorite ways of working with dreams, whatever you'd like, 831-900-5773. Okay, welcome back to the Dream Journal. This is Catherine Bell, and we're here with Linda Schiller, and we have a caller on the line. Let's see.
It's
here
Joyce.
We go. Hello.
Hi, it's Joyce. How are you?
Hey, Joyce. Thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh, fantastic. So you're like pretty much a neighbor of Linda's.
I'm a neighbor of Linda's.
You know, I grew up in Boston area, too, so I'm very familiar
Amazing.
With that. I still have family in Massachusetts.
Amazing.
Excellent. Thanks for calling, Joyce. What do you have on your mind?
Well, I have a small dream that I wanted to run by Linda.
Sure. Thank you.
Not a big, long one, but it's interesting. Is there Linda? Is she there?
Yep, I think so. Linda, say
I'm
hello.
Here. Aha. Can you hear me, Joyce?
Hi, Linda. Hello.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Linda. Here's my little wee dream with a very interesting central image. Okay, ready. I am in a lobby with lots of people, and I am paired with a woman. It's like a workshop, and we are given instructions. I am told to read her chin.
To
read her chin.
Chin.
Chin. Yeah. Her chin.
Okay.
C-H-I-N. Read her chin. I think this is so funny, and so does she. Apparently, she used to be a clown, and now she does hospice helping the dying. I finally give her a blessing that she do her sacred work in the best way. So that's the dream, but the reading her chin, I thought, was really something I was going to ask you to help me understand.
Wow, that's a really interesting dream. So you said something, Joyce, in the beginning, which lets me know that you're a dreamer, because you said the central image. And I just, for people who don't might be listening and might not know what that means, that's a great way to start with working on a dream, which is what's the image that's the strongest or most powerful part of your dream that kind of calls to you. And Ernest Tubman, a dream scholar, called that the central image or the CI. So it sounds like in your dream, that CI or central image was this woman's chin. Is that right?
That I had to read it as though it were a tarot card or a book. I had to read her chin.
Interesting.
Yep. And she lifted her head so I could look at it.
Wow. So when you were reading her chin in the dream, were you reading it with your eyes like one might read a book, or were you reading it with your fingers like one might read Braille? How were you reading it?
I was reading it with my eyes, and we both thought it was quite funny, and I saw, you know, kind of a freckled chin, an ordinary chin. It was just strange.
You said something in the dream that I didn't quite catch. I caught the word clown, I think, and I caught the word holy work. Can you say a little bit more about that? Because I couldn't quite hear that part of the dream.
Okay. The woman whose chin I was reading said she used to be a clown. I'm also a clown, a hospital clown. And now
right. She
does hospice work helping the dying, and I end up giving her a blessing that she do her sacred work in the best way. Apparently,
wow. That
was the reading. I don't know. That was the dream.
So, something really interesting right now that I want to call attention to for the listeners is that in the dream, the woman was a clown, and you just told us that you are a hospital clown.
Yeah.
So, if one of the ways we work with dreams is we say, if this were my dream, this honors that I have an idea, but I'm not going to superimpose it on you. But if this were my dream and I was a hospital clown dreaming about a woman who was a clown who was moving into doing hospice work, I might say, how does this relate to me and my life, since it seems like almost a perfect match between who and what you do and what this woman is doing in the dream? Does that
right. Sound
like a starting place?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Because
okay.
we were both amused. We were both thought it was very funny. And I wonder if something as ridiculous as reading a chin is part of
right. The
healing work, no matter how ridiculous it seems.
Well, what's lovely is that you were both very amused by this. Is there something like and enjoyable and fun about this. So
right. Back
to the central image, now that we know, and you're confirming that, yeah, this is something about you and your life path, because that's the woman in the dream, what I want to know is, what a chin, right? If I'm from Mars, and I
right. Have
no idea what a chin is, right, what's a chin?
It's a part of the face that you don't really look at. That's what strikes me. You look at somebody's face, you see their eyes,
mm-hmm.
you see their smile, you see their nose. Nobody ever looks at a chin, so it's kind of extraneous. That's what's kind of funny about it. I was asked to zero in on a part of the face that doesn't mean much when you're looking at a face.
Isn't that interesting? So somehow in this dream, you're pointed to look at a part of the face that we usually don't attend to. Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I think.
Usually,
yeah, we don't usually look
looking at as much as like the eyes, nose, and mouth. But somehow this is important here. So if this were
right. My
dream, I'd want to be thinking about what am I looking at or facing, pun intended, in my life, that I should be paying attention to that I don't ordinarily
right. Pay
attention to that much.
Great. I like that very much.
Well, good. And then I'd ask you one other question. So on a face, again, I'm from Mars, and I don't know what a chin is really, and you said it's part of a face that we don't pay much attention to. So I want to know, what's a face, and where on a face is a chin?
The chin is, it's kind of below eye level. You don't really look at it. It's below. It's the lowest part of the face.
Okay.
And I think maybe the dream is asking me to just really pay attention to the things that are really I don't pay attention to. Interesting in my past.
So if we were going to drop our eyes to pay attention to something lower down or down below, we would see the chin. So if in the dream you're being asked to face something or look at a new face or face in a new direction, I'm sort of riffing on the pun of a face, to look somewhere where you might not have looked before and to look maybe lower, underground or in the unconscious or in the depth. And I was struck, Joyce, by your saying that this woman in the dream was going to shift to be doing hospice work.
Yeah.
Did I hear that right? So
yes, you did.
I'm wondering about the chin being the lower part of the face, and hospice work is preparing people to have their physical bodies be lowered in some way into the ground while their souls are released to another realm. And if that has any resonance.
And actually, we just had a very close friend be diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So that might be what I was dreaming about, too. Maybe that's the calling.
Wow.
That I'll be
I'm sorry
her
to hear that. And maybe that is connected. And that's the lower part of someone's body that they just got a diagnosis about, too.
Right.
I love the bringing together here of a clown and then working with the dying, that there's a way that it is a very incredibly tender and painful process to go through dying, emotionally painful, hopefully not physically painful, but then there's also a way that a clown brings a lightness to this. And the work that you do, Joyce, in the hospitals with as a clown, I imagine you bring a lot of lightness to people who are very sick.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, that's all the work that you're already doing.
Yeah,
and I think the chin probably does, in some tradition, associate with reproductive organs. You know, the bottom part, as you said, of the face, the bottom part of the body. So I'm wondering if I was having a precognitive dream or thinking about my friend.
So what you're tapping into, Joyce, is potentially yet another layer, because as we mentioned earlier in the show, there are many potential layers of a dream. So we've worked from the literal to the embodied to the work professional related to now we're talking about two other layers, which is a spiritual layer of the dreaming and a precognitive layer of dreaming, where we can dream around the corners of time and take a peek into things that haven't yet happened yet or that we have not yet learned about in our waking life. And that's strong dreaming to be able to do that.
Great. Thank you, Linda.
All right.
You are very welcome, Joyce. Thank you so much for calling.
All right.
You're welcome. Thank you, Catherine.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling, Joyce. Take care.
You're welcome.
And you're welcome to send me an email if you'd like it. Catherine@ksqd.org, and we can keep in touch a little. Appreciate you calling.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
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 So, yeah, that was beautiful. Beautiful dream, and it's kind of brought up a lot of tenderness in me working with the dying, and yet there's also this humor here. I can just picture the woman kind of displaying her chin for Joyce to read.
Right. But there's a message there that, and here's another aspect of dream work, is that we have dreams and other people can resonate and be gifted from our dreams, even if they weren't their own. So when I listen to your reflection, Catherine, and I think about Joyce's dream, I think about what a gift it was for me and possibly your other listeners to hear her dream and to feel that healing energy that she's bringing into the world, and to also notice that there can be lightness and fun and joy in the process of whether it's working with sick kids in a hospital or helping midwife someone through to the other side when their time is done. Something for us all to be able to take away from her dream, which is one of the beauties of doing dream work with other people.
Exactly. Groups are wonderful that way, that we really feel into each other's insights, and that we get insights ourselves from other people's dreams.
Right. That's right.
So, Linda, I wanted to talk a little bit about the upcoming IASD conference, the International Association for the Study of Dreams. Linda is going to be doing a workshop there in June, Scottsdale, Arizona. Is that right?
That's right.
And I wanted to tell you, to have you tell the listeners a little bit about what you'll be doing, because I think I happen to be a little bit behind the scenes on this process, and it sounds like it's going to be a really exciting workshop.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for giving the shout out to IASD. It is a wonderful, wonderful organization. People from all aspects of the dreaming world come together once a year to this fantastic workshop. Last year it was in the Netherlands.
And that's where I met you, Linda. We actually went on a hike together. We had some great conversations during our hike. It was in the Netherlands IASD summer conference.
Right. It was really fun. I remember we hiked together. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in Scottsdale, Arizona. So come. And you can come if you are simply an interested dreamer. You can come if you're a therapist. You can come if you're an artist. You can come if you're a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Any aspect of the dreaming world. And what I'm going to be doing, which was the question you asked this year, is I'm teaching a workshop called Dreams Alive. So I am going to be doing embodied dream work with people at that particular workshop. And we're going to go over some principles together of understanding and working with dreams, and how to understand and work with dreams in an embodied form. And then the rest of the workshop is going to be people bringing in their dreams and us as a group doing dream theater with the dreams. And we're all given a part in the dream. Let's say there are four characters in a dream, and then there's a landscape in the dream. Somebody might be the man, and somebody might be the child, and somebody might play the bush, somebody might be the water. And we act out the dream, and in the process of acting it out, the dreamer who brought the dream gets insights into what might be going on, as well as each person who plays a character or an object in the dream, as well as the peanut gallery, the rest of the people at the workshop who are witnessing and participating from a witness point of view. So we're going to have a lot of fun doing that workshop together.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one for sure. So Linda, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, thanks. Well, a couple different ways. I have a website, which is lindayaelschiller.com. That's Lindayaelschiller, all one word. So that's my website that's kind of got a little bit of everything on it. And if you're interested in the book, I have a separate website for the book called moderndreamwork, all one word, .com. And on that website, you can read a little bit more about the book, get some more information about the different aspects of the book, and you can also order it through that website as well and see upcoming events that are happening related to the book. And then I have an email, lindayschiller@gmail.com is my email. So those would be ways you could get in touch with me.
Oh, that's fantastic. So do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners, Linda?
Yeah, actually, that's a great question. Mm. And I think my final thoughts are, it's sort of related almost to Joyce's dream, that I really believe that our dreams give us the potential to heal both our own lives and to share healing with the world. And without it being an understatement, I think we can say we are living in confused and troubling times. And the world really needs strong dreamers right now. So if we put our collective attention and intention on dreaming toward healing, and perhaps even doing a process called dream incubation, where when we go to bed at night, before we go to sleep, we spend a few minutes with our journal writing down what we would like to dream about. What's the dilemma or the issue or the problem we want an answer to? It might be something personal. It might be something for the world, for the planet, for the people. How can we dream more healing into our lives, into the lives of our friends and relatives, into our country, into our planet?
Yeah.
If we put our collective attention on dreaming healing into the world, just as our ancestors did, the shamans were the dreamers in ancestral times, that we can bring forward and manifest a world that we want to leave to our children.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Linda. Linda Yale Schiller and her book, Modern Dreamwork, Decoding Your Soul's Wisdom. Thank you, Linda. I'm excited. I'll be seeing you in Scottsdale in June.
Thank you so much for having me on, Catherine, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again in June as well.
Okay. Take care.
Take good care.
All right. Bye.
So long.
So next week, we will be speaking with Christine Barrington. Christine is a transformational coach and supports individuals and groups to artfully engage their inner world through exploring dreams, art, and inner visioning in order to effect positive change in their lives. Tune in live or catch the podcast replay on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and now on Spotify as well. So to find out about more of this conference that we were talking about, the 37th Annual Conference of the IASD, it's June 13th through 17th in Scottsdale, Arizona. You can go to asdreams.org. That's asdreams.org. And if you'd like a more personal retreat, join me and my Embodied Dreamwork mentors May 18th through 22nd at the luscious Brighton Bush Retreat Center in Oregon. It's a chance to go deep with your personal dreams and to enjoy the healing hot springs at this reasonably priced Esalen of the North. Contact me for more details or check their webpage at brightonbush.com/workshops. And Brighton Bush is spelled BREITENBUSH.
Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet.
I am Catherine Bell, and this has been the Dream Journal. Thanks for listening. You can find out more about my dream coaching practice at experientialdreamwork.com. I offer private sessions, dream groups, and in-depth retreats. If you have a dream you're curious about, you're welcome to contact me for a free introductory dream consultation. You can also reach me at katherine@ksquid.org. That's K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E at K-S-Q-D.O-R-G. Let me know if you have suggestions for interviews or questions about a dream, or maybe you just want to say hi. If you like this show, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend about the show. Our guest today was Linda Yale Schiller, and our thanks to our call-in from Joyce in Massachusetts. I'd also like to thank my program assistant, Max Deaton, and our creative musician, Rick Kleffel, and his live ambient music. We did get this on the air for you, so we're glad to offer that as a unique feature of the show, The Dream Journal. And thank you to all the wonderful donors who support this station. K-Squid is 100% listener-supported, and donations are always welcome at ksqd.org. That's all for the Dream Journal. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, take a minute to look within. Do you remember a dream? Write it down and bring it to the next Dream Journal. Are you ready to wake up to the power of your dreams? I am Catherine Bell, and you are listening to KSQD Santa Cruz.